Begin the current Dav Masechtes Tmur Dav Zayin. Begin 3 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining the Braisa we mentioned in the previous Dav, which came in incidentally regarding one of the proofs we had in this Machlekes Abaye and Rava that we had for an entire Dav and more. If I Ovid Mehani or Loi Mehani, if someone violates Torah law, is it effective or is it not effective? Then there was one of the proofs related to the halach of a Braisa regarding being Makdash Balmum, that there's a prohibition of sanctifying a blemished animal for a carbon, which there's 5 prohibitions in that category. Not to sanctify, not to slaughter, not to throw the blood, not to sacrifice all of it, not to sacrifice part of it. And then, as our Gemara quotes, Mishum Abiyis Rabbi Huda Amru, in his name, they added on a 6th one. Af Kabbalas Adam. Even receiving the blood of a blemished animal is a violation of a Torah prohibition regarding a blemished animal. So that's the Gemara, my time to raise Rabbi Huda. What's the reason of his opinion? As we brought in the previous daf regarding a braisa that showed the different terminology where we find the sources for the 5 of the Tanna Kamma, where do we find the source for Kabbalah Saddam? So that says the Gemara Amakra, because the Pasuk says Meyikra regarding blemishes in the animal, which include Umoch, if its testicles are squeezed, Vachasus, or if it's crushed, Venusik, or if it's severed, Vakaris, or if it's cut, Vagaim, etc., which these are different blemishes that it talks about, Loisakrivu Lashem. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Says the Gemara, Sakrivu, as we had brought in the previous daf, when we said, what does it mean to bring near? We had a few terminologies. One meant not to sanctify, one meant not to slaughter it. Says the Gemara, Zuka balas adam, shamar b'yis b'yehuda. This terminology that is totally regarding blemished animals, and it says, le sakrivu, what's that bringing near for? That's even referring to the receiving of the blood. So says the Gemara of Latana Kama, highly sakriva lamali. What does he do with this extra terminology of not bringing it near? Really no slaughtering, we really know sanctification, and he doesn't hold of Kabbalah Saddam. Says the Gemara, Mimbayle Lizrikas Daman. This not bringing near actually is a reference to not throwing the blood of this blemished animal on the Mizbech. Says the Gemara, but Vanafkale Mal Mizbech, we already brought in the previous daf, that's learned out from the terminology of on the altar. What is on the altar? That's seemingly a superfluous terminology. It's referring to the blood that's thrown on the Mizbech. So how could you say that's what he's learning from Leisai Kribu? Says the Gemara, now Orche de Kron de Bishtoi Hachim. It's very normal for the Pasuk when it's talking about the prohibition of the sacrificing of the sacrificial parts of burning the Mizbech, that it says on the Mizbech. And therefore, that's not where you know the throwing of the blood from. Rather, you know it from this Leisai Kribu that the Gemara just quoted right now. So the Gemara says, okay, then Rabbi Yisrael Rehu Dinami Orche de Krohu. Then therefore, Al HaMizbeach is not teaching you the Zrikas Adam. And therefore, rather when we're saying over here that of Leisai Kribu, that would refer to the more primary of the Zrikas Adam. So where does he know then Kabbalah Saddam? Says the Gemara, you're right, in the Hanami. That is, from this Leisai Kribu, he learns that regarding Zrikas Adam. And Kabbalah Saddam, and where does he know this extra halacha of that even there's a prohibition of receiving the blood of a blemished animal? Nafkele Miha learns it from this other pasuk that says, Umiyad ben necher leisai krivu, and that from the hand of the foreigner, you should not receive the bread of your God from all these things that we spoke about, which were all these blemished animals, because there's a destructive element in it. It has a blemish in it, it's not going to be considered favorable for you. Now here it says the terminology leisai krivu. That's another reference. Zuhi Kabbalah Saddam, Shamar Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. That is the source for Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda referring to the prohibition of even receiving the blood of a blemished animal. Says Gemara, okay, then Blatan Lekama, Hai Leisai Kribu Lamali. What does he do with that Leisai Kribu? Says Gemara, Mibayla Lehai, he needs it to teach us regarding the element of that Pasuk itself. Sokat Etchemina Yuda thought to say, Hai Bloin and Stabu B'nei Noyach, since the non-Jews are not prescripted, Ela Al Mechusa Ivar, only regarding bringing a carbon that's missing a limb. As the Gemara says in the first parak in the Beit Zohar of Hema Beis, that it's only problematic if it's missing an entire limb. But other blemishes, it's not prohibited for them in their altars. And therefore, had we not written Leisai Krivu by the Es Ben Necher Es Kol Eila, that Mumimar problem, which that tells us that one shouldn't receive even from a non-Jew, if not for that pasuk, then I would have thought to say actually he could sacrifice even if it has a mum, as long as it's not Mechusar Eiver. And Loishnum Mizbech Tidhu, and we would have thought that there's no difference between his altar for Loishnum Mizbech Tidhan, and even that's not a problem on our altar in the Mizbech in the Azara. Kamash Malan, that's what I have to say, that no, even from the non-Jew, who generally a mum for himself is not problematic to bring to Hashem, but in the Azara, that is a problem, and that's what we're learning from Leisai Krivu in the context of Ben Necher, but not as an extra terminology to add on another Avodah that would be problematic for a Balmum. And therefore he doesn't learn it applies to Kabbalah Saddam. Lishna Achrin, a different version regarding this previous discussion. As we quoted, he says, Af al Kabbalah Saddam, that there's a prohibition even on receiving the blood of a blemished animal. My time, what's the reason? So the chsiv, because like we said, it says in the pasuk, as in the first version, it says amach, b'chasu, b'chulu, it says all these different blemishes regarding the testicles of the animal, if it's a blemish. Leisei krivu, you now let it bring it. What's this terminology, leisei krivu? Zu kabal sadam, it refers to the receiving of the blood. B'zrika nafkele ma'al mezbech, because he learns out already the source of throwing the blood, as we said in the previous daf, from on the altar. Now, ask the Gemara, according to this version, Rabban and Nami, typical who is Zrikim and Al Mezbeach, then they should also know the throwing the blood for Al Mezbeach. What do they do with Lo Yisakrivu? Says the Gemara, Hachanami, you're right. They learn how to throwing the blood for Al Mezbeach. Ve'el Lo Yisakrivu demach l'may asa. Then what do we learn from this Lo Yisakrivu of the crushed testicle? Mafkinin l'bamas yachad. That's coming to teach regarding a private altar that the problem of blemishes is not only on Mezbeach HaGadol, but even when the times when private altars were permitted, even that is prohibited to have a Balmum. Says the Gemara, then Lareis Bihuda, Haimi Boile Labamas Yachad. So then, how does he learn that from Leisei Krivu that it teaches Kabbalah? No, it's necessary to teach us that it's even prohibited in the private altar. Says the Gemara, Enachanami, you're right. That's what we learned from this Leisei Krivu. El Takrivu de Kabbalah Menali. Then where does he know what's his extra Takrivu that he learns out that's a prohibition even for Kabbalah Saddam? That's from Miyad Benechu Leisei Krivu, from a different pasuk. As we said in the first version, learning out from this other pasuk of that even from the non Jew, Leisei Krivu. What's this Leisei Krivu? Zu Kabbalah Saddam, that's an extra reference referring to the problem of a blemished animal even to receive its blood. But Rabbana, they would tell you, no, Itzuch. That Leisei Krivu is necessary. It's not superfluous to add on another Avodim. Rather, Sagat, I mean, you would have thought to say, Hoyol b'nei noich imit suvin. Since the non-Jews, they're only commanded regarding their Karbanas Elal Mechusa Iver b'bam and Dilhoin, in their own private altars, which the non-Jews does for the sake of heaven, it's only problematic if his animal is missing a limb. Now, so Dilma na minakbal minayin. So you would think that maybe we should also receive from them, even when it's a blemish, as long as it's not mechusar aver. Kamash malan mikalela. That's what the pasuk teaching from all these different things. Doloi mikablina, that we don't accept from them. In other words, for that is what we're saying, because it says in this pasuk mikalela, which sounds like all these blemishes, even if it's not mechusar aver, even though in their private altars permitted for our mizbeach, it's going to be forbidden. Now going back on the braisa from the previous staff, the opinion of the Tanakhama, which said that when someone is makdish abamum and he goes through all the avodas that he's going to be violating five different negative prohibitions regarding the blemished animal, maskev l'Rish Lakish. Lakish asks, he says, Shema lo shaninu, maybe we didn't learn that there's going to be lashes because of lo takdishu, which was the first one that one is violating, by sanctifying the blemished animal, already one violates the iser. Says Rish Lakish, maybe that's only ele betam shenasa balmum. And the Gersa takes out the word va'ever. Maybe only if it was actually an unblemished animal, which then subsequently became blemished, and then he sanctified that animal. Then, since you could say that since initially it was unblemished, so the one who's sanctifying this animal, he thinks, okay, even though it developed a blemish, I'll sanctify it and I'll sacrifice it. And since you could say that he could entertain to say that he would think you could sacrifice it because at one point it was unblemished. Oh, that's where we would say that, but now it's blemished and they're sanctifying. That's where he's going to get lashes for Baal Takdishu. Now, says Rish Lakish, because the Ibal Mummi Kara, because if you would think to say that this prohibition that we're saying in the Braisa of sanctifying a blemished animal as a carbon would even be if it was born that way, it's congenital, it came out with a blemish, that even there you want to say that if he sanctifies that animal, he's going to get an iser for lav, for lashes, for sanctifying a blemished animal. But tikla ba'amahu. But that animal, so to speak, is like a tree, where you could say that he never entertained to say that it's fit to be brought as a carbon, because it was never even from the day he was born fit to be as a carbon. So obviously when he's sanctifying for its monetary value. So therefore he shouldn't get lashes. It's only someone who is sanctifying that, like allegedly that is a carbon, that's a negative prohibition. Who said it even would apply to Balmum Mekar? So Amalei Reb Chiya Bar Yisbi says, one of the things in the Pasuk where it mentions regarding the Bali Mumin says Sirua, which is if one of its limbs is longer than the other. Or of a Kalit, which is when its hooves are unsplit. Kasiv Beparsha, that those mum are mentioned in the parsha, and on that it says leisei krivu, which again we expound in the previous stuff means leitek tishu, not to sanctify. Now vahani bali mumim mikarnenu, and those are blemishes that the animal is born with, and still we see that the iser of baltek tishu applies to them. However, Amalei still asked. He says, okay, you're right; it applies even to a blemish that it's born with. But Shema Lechanina, maybe we didn't learn that there should be a liability because of sanctifying a Bamu Meikara, a blemish that it was born with. Ela Bitmura, maybe only in the situation of when you went and you sanctified this blemished animal that was born that way through an action of tamura, which is when you have a regular carbon, and then you're trying to swap it onto this bamum, which is a sanctification, then the bamum ikari is going to be a violation of sanctifying an animal that's a bamum. Why? Because it's not. We learn the Mishnah later on, the Tazayim Abayz, that says, Chaymer betimur membezabach. There is a certain stringency that applies to the sanctification of a tamura animal over that of an initial sanctification of a carbon. Why? Shekin kedusha chalo aleha, because we find that the sanctity takes effect on the tamura, al bamum kavua. Even if it had a permanent blemish from beforehand, it's still going to be a complete sanctity, which is that tamura animal is not going to be taken out to be chulin, that you could shear the wool, or it could be worked even after redemption. Rather, it's going to be like other kachim, which is, as in kachim, when you had its hektish before its blemish. Because in contrast, a regular zevach, where you're sanctifying for the first time, if the blemish was there before you sanctified it, then you could redeem it that it's even permitted to work or to shear the wool. Which, this is a Mishnah, as we said later on, that expounds the Pasuk, Toiv Bara, Rabba Toiv Im Hama Yom, in the Parsha of Timura, which tells us that it's always going to have its sanctity, even if it had the blemish before you sanctified, specifically by Timura. So therefore, that's what Rish Lakish is asking. So it says, since you see by the Timura that it's going to have a bona fide sanctity, so maybe over there we're going to say that if you're going to make a Timura and you're going to bring a Balmum, that you're sanctifying and you're trying to swap the sanctity of the animal that's unblemished onto this one, that's where we're going to say that you're going to get lashes. But if you're sanctifying in the primary sanctity of a regular animal, a blemished animal that was born that way, maybe I would say, says Rish Lakish, that one would not get lashes, because again, like you said before, it's just a tree, unless you actually sacrifice it. But for sanctity, maybe one should not go ahead and get lashes for that. Tarch Amalir B'yichin, Rechin answered this question to Rish Lakish. He says, no. Lo Shmila Chadam Rabbiyanai, didn't you hear this teaching that Rabbiyanai said? That Bechabura Nimnu V'gamru, that in the group of the colleagues, they counted and they concluded, which sounds like that they were precise, and they didn't find any other that would be added on, that Hamakdish Balmum L'gavim Mizbech, if someone sanctifies a blemished animal to the altar, Ayivim Mishum Chamisha Shemes, there's only going to be a violation of five names, like we mentioned in the previous stuff. Now, but says Rishon Rish Lakish, V'ibet Murnami, but if like you're qualifying that we're saying that this Balmum Mekare, that, yeah, we're proving in the posse that it's going to be lashes, but you still want to say it's only in the context of a tamura. If that's where it applies, then shisha havin, then actually it could even be in this prohibition of what you sanctified, the balmum, and then sacrificed it, should be six violations. They cannot be allowed the tamura, because then there would also be negative prohibition of tamura. So Rabbi Yechon, obviously the fact that they said the limit is five, obviously it's not in the context of the tamura, and it's in its initial sanctification. So then Rish Lakish asks in Elamai, so what are you saying? That bebamum miyikarei, that in the animal that it was born blemished, and then you're going ahead and you're sanctifying it. So says Rish Lakish, and he basically asks his logic that was underlying all his questions up until now. So then, by my lucky, but why does the person get lashes? But there is not going to be any sanctity of kedushas mizbeach here at all, because diklabamahu, it's like a tree, and therefore obviously the sanctification only for its monetary value. There's no physical sanctity take effect. So how are you sanctifying a balmum, which is a problem for the mizbeach, but there's no sanctity taking effect physically because it's a blemished animal and it was born that way? So Amalei, so Yechon said to him, no, you're right. It cannot take effect because it's a blemished animal. But why is it different than if someone sanctifies a tree, which obviously not violating this, or a balmum for the mizbeach, because it's a tree and obviously it's for monetary value. But diklalam zila milsa, when someone sanctifies a tree, there's no disgrace, because minetzim, it's a type of a wood. That's okay, you can sanctify things for the temple upkeep. But balmum mikara zila milsa, sanctifying a prior blemished animal, is a disgrace. Why? Keeping the shavik tamim ba'akdash bali mumin, since he could sanctify unblemished animals, and instead he's sanctifying a blemished animal, that's a disgrace. And mechaim, and therefore the Torah obligates him and says that he is violating the issa being makdash bali mumin, even by a bali mumin mikar. Lishna Achrin, a different version of the previous Gemara's discussion, says that Amalei, what Rabbi Yechon answered was, no, afilahachi, even so. You're right, even so, physical sanctity of the Mizbeach cannot take effect on this Balmum Mekar, but Bazi Milsa, but it's disgrace. Because the Deka Lekabimina, the difference is, by a tree, there's no type of tree that's fit to be brought in the Mizbeach. So Loilaki, so you don't get lashes for sanctifying a tree, because what you're sanctifying, you couldn't have done in a better way. There's no tree that's Royal Mizbeach. Lafuki Balmum, that excludes a blemished animal. Kivin Deka Biminoi, since there is in that species that would be fit to the Mizbeach, And since there isn't a species of type that would be fit for the Mizbech, it's a disgrace when you leave something that's fit for the Mizbech and you sanctify something that's not fit, which is a blemish. So lucky, therefore, the person is going to get lashes, again, even though it's not fit for Kedush Mizbech, from the fact that he didn't sanctify Tumim, and instead he sanctified a Bamum. Now Amar Rav, he continues this, and he says, Nahashtu the Amar Taimer, the Bamum the Lucky. Now that we said that the reason why, when someone sanctifies a blemished animal, even Mikari, that he's going to get lashes, Mishum Debazi Milsaikas is this disgrace, you could go ahead, even like we're saying, for monetary sanctity, but you could have done it to, in an unblemished animal, which would have had physical sanctity for the Mizbech. Then says Rava one step further. Says Afila, and the Girsa is Akdish Lei L'Demeinus Nesachim. Even if he's sanctifying the blemished animal, for the monetary value that he wants to get for the libations, which are liquids that poured in Mizbech, which now it's not such a disgrace because it's not in this same species that would be fit for Nesachim. The blemished animal is not that you could have brought that for Nesachim itself had it been unblemished. And moreover, he's explicitly sanctifying it not for an animal to be sacrificed, but rather for the monetary value, because it's to redeem it to then go ahead and use those monies for Nesachim. Even so, says Rabbi, not lucky that he's still going to get lashes, because ultimately you could have sanctified something that's unblemished. And the fact that you picked something that's blemished, even if it's not even for an animal itself, even if it's for Nesachim, it's still considered a bazillion, and therefore one's going to get lashes even in that situation. Now, Tanika Vasedi Rava, we have a brisa that says, like Rava, which Shita Mekabeses brings a different text, which is primary, that says, well, this teaching of Rava is Tanoihi, it's a Machloikis Tanoi, which one of the opinions is like Rava, but that we see that it's a Machloikis Tanoi, like we learned the brisa. As you continue to Beis, the Pasuk says, in the context of balmum, of a blemished animal, it says nadavatasa isek, a donation you should make for it. So that balmum that's mentioned in the pasuk, what's that? What does it refer to? Says the brisa is kachay by the gabbais. This refers to the monetary sanctity of the temple upkeep, because obviously it can't be brought for the altar to sacrifice, because the pasuk says leisit mehem. Now that I bring a blemished animal for the carbon, when it's saying that nadavatasa isek must mean that you donate it for the temple upkeep. Says the Braisa, now ve'ainly, I would only know an inclusionary terminology that when one is going to take effect, that the blemished animal is for the temple upkeep, ella nedava, only if it comes through a donation, like it's saying, the davatasa isay, meaning the classical halacha of the difference between neder and nedava is, nedava is when you say that this should be lebedika bais, which is not taking responsibility, that's like what's called a donation. Neder minayin, even when he takes a vow, which if he says, hari a lie, it's upon me an animal for the monetary value for the bedik abayis, that it's a mitzvah for him to designate a bamum, in contrast to a mizbech, tamalei melaneder. That's what the pasuk says over there previously, at the end of the pasuk, which the pasuk was talking about, like we said, blemished animals, v'shar v'sef, it's saru of a cult, which we just spoke about previously, about those types of blemishes, nedava tasa isay, you should make it a donation. Now, the literal translation of the pasuk is, ulaneder la yiratza, but for a neder, as we're going to shortly explain that, it's not considered accepted. But the way the Bryce is expounding it, you could also read it, that nedava tasa isay ulaneder, that you should make the blemished animal a nedava for the bedigabais, and as a nether, that you could also take a nether of a blemished animal for the Bethika Bais. Now, that continues, then you would think that even you could even be matfis, a blemished animal to be sacrificed on Mizbeach. That's how the Pasuk ends, as we just alluded to, that for a vow, it's not considered accepted. That refers to something that's sacrificed on the altar, which there applies the concept of hartza, of being accepted. For that, you can't bring a blemished animal. Continues the Braisa, Nava'inli Ela Neder. So I would only know that in the context of a vow, because it's the word Le'yeratza is near the word Neder, which would sound like, specifically if it says he takes a vow, Hari Alai Oila, then you cannot bring a blemished animal. Nidav Minayin, how do we know that one cannot even donate and to say regarding a blemished animal, Hari Zulam Mizbech, this is for the altar? Tamalayim Nidava, as we're learning the Pasig, the same idea, but in the previous part, where it says, Nidava, and then ulaneder lo yiratza. So we're expounding it as, so to speak, as if it says nedava tasa isay, you should make it a nedava or a neder, then lo yiratza, it's not going to be accepted again, which is for the mizbeach. So therefore, both of them are good for bedik abayis, but both of them are not good, neder and nedava, for the kedushas mizbeach. That's a tanakam. Rabbi Yaimi, he says, when it says in the pasuk lo yiratza, it's not accepted. Bartzas gufa kas medaba, it's regarding the acceptance of the body itself. Which is means to say that you cannot sacrifice it, which that refers to kachim mizbech. So the question is, hainu tanakama. So then Rebbe is the same as the tanakama. Says the Gemara, my labo kamiflagi. So what are they disagreeing about? This concept of Rava. The Tanakama, so the Tanakama held afila akdashay l'dmei nesachem namilaki. That even if it's not for the thing itself, even if he's sanctifying this blemished animal for its monetary value to be used and redeemed to buy libations to point the mizbech, even there you're going to get lashes. It's, in other words, it's something that's for kedushas mizbech, which he said that's a problem, even though it's not the thing itself. But Rebbe Savabar Tzaz Gufo, you know, Rebbe says it's only for something that you want to acceptance of the thing itself, meaning if you're bringing the blemished animal for the ultimate purpose of bringing a carbon on Mizbeach, then lucky, then you're going to get lashes. But if it's for the monetary value to be used towards the libations, which is not something that it itself is being sanctified for, that then loy lucky, then you're not going to get lashes. Shmamina, that obviously this halach of Rabbah is a machlekes tanoim. Now the Gemara asked, so we understand this whole pasuk that we just brought. We expounded the whole pasuk for different drushes, which we expounded what does nedavim mean, what does the neder mean. But the Gemara has a question, says, but the ela oisai. There's one word here that we still want to understand. It says, nedavatasa oisai, a donation you should make it. Lamali, what do we need it for? We know what we're talking about. We're talking about the serua and the color. We're talking about the blemishes. What's it coming to say? So the Gemara, like learn the following brisa. Pasuk says, as we quote, nedavatasa oisai, a donation you should make it. Oisai, meaning it, what we're talking about in the pasuk of a balmum, tas in the dava, you should make as a donation. But the inference is, vi'i ato oisai tamim nedava lebedekabayas. But an unblemished animal, you cannot make a donation for the temple upkeep. Where Mikan Amr, from his, where they said, hamakdash tamim lebedekabayas, if someone sanctifies an unblemished animal, not for the mizbech, but rather to be used for the temple upkeep, aivir ba'asei. He has violated a positive commandment, this one that we're talking about, where the inference is that you cannot sanctify unblemished animal, which that's what's called the lava b'machal say. It's telling you what you can't do, inferred from what you should do, that negative prohibition is qualified as a positive commandment because it's inferred from a positive statement. Now, uminayin af b'loisa, say, how do we know that if actually someone is makdish tamim lebedek bayis, he's actually going to violate even a negative prohibition? Shem, like it says earlier there in that parasha, it says, starts with vayedaber Hashem al Moshe lema. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Limit Allah parasha shehi balav de Rebbe Yehuda. Priya says that comes to teach that this whole parasha, including that of the donating of being mafresh a tamim for the bedek abayis, which is inferred from this parasha, is also going to have a negative prohibition. On that only Rebbe Lebar Kapar says, my mashma, where do you see from this pasuk of Yedabash and Moshe Lema that there's negative prohibition on what it says here in the parasha regarding what including this inference of being makdish a tamim the bedek abayis? Amalei, he says, because the chsiv leimar. Loi nemar bidvarm. In this parsha, the words are said with a loi, which is a not, which is a negative prohibition. Or be Rebbe Amri in the Yeshiva Rebbe, they said loi omar. In other words, this is what Hashem is saying. Tell the Jewish people, no, that there's also a negative prohibition. That if you violate this parsha, there's also going to be a violation of negative prohibition. That's leimar, loi omar. Tell them that there's also a no over here. Continuing this topic, which will also relate back to the brayse we quoted before regarding a blemished animal, idma we learned as follows: Hamala evari bali mumen. Someone brings up the limbs of a blemished animal, those cut up pieces of the animal, legab mizbech on top of the altar, like the rule is by a carbon oila, by a totally burnt sacrifice. So Amar Rav, he says, even mishum bal taktiru kulay, he violates the prohibition of not to sacrifice all of the sacrificial parts of the animal. Um mishum bal taktiru miktasi, he also violates that of someone who sacrifices parts of the sacrificial parts of a blemished animal. Now that I'm a bayo, or the gears is a bayo Amar, he disagrees. He says, no, ain't looking alav shabachlolos. We don't get lashes for what's called a general categorical prohibition, which is the prohibition of sacrificing all of the sacrificial parts, or some of them, are both learned out from one pasuk. Ve'isha le'sitnim hem, like we explained in the previous daf, ve'isha refers to what's put on the fire. It means sacrificing all of them. And mayhem from them means some of them. So therefore, you can't get two sets of lashes for a pasuk that includes two lavim, which is called a lav shebechlol. Now, but regarding all the other prohibitions, there you do get a separate set of lashes for each one. Meaning, for sanctifying that which has a blemish, that we have a pasuk that we expound the previous daf, it says leisek tishu. Regarding slaughtering, where it says leisek kriva el Hashem, by it says by iveris leishaver. When it's zrika, we learn that from leisek kriva by moch v'chassas. So those, yeah, there's going to be separate lashes. But for leisek tiru, but for not sacrificing all of it, and some of them, that says abayim, although the words he says is in loikin alav shabachlalas, what he means to say is you're not going to get two sets of lashes, but one you will, because the Rashi says, going according to the Man of Amar, that says that, yeah, you don't get both, but you get at least one set of lashes for lav shebichlol, as the Gemara says in the second, at the end of the second parak, in Pesachim, daf memalav on the base. But you're not going to get both, because it's a general categorical lav that includes two different lavin. You'll only get one, not two. Now, Meisvi, the Gemara asked in the Abaya from the Brice that we had quoted previously. Hamakdish bali mum legab mizbeach, if someone sanctifies a blemished animal for the altar, said the Brice, as we quoted in the previous staff, oivim mishum chamisha shemes. So he's violated five different designations. And two of those five, one is bal taktiru kula, and one is bal taktiru mitzasai. So to yifta abaya, you have a refutation of abaya. You see that someone that's going to go sanctify and go through the whole avodah of sacrificing this blemished animal, he's going to violate both of them and get several lashes for them, even though it's lav shebichlalos. So abaya says no, begavra katani. The brayza is talking about different people. In other words, not talking about that if one person does both of these, he's going to get both sets of lashes. Rather, it's talking about different cases. If someone sacrifices all the parts, he violates Baal Taktiru Kulay. Or if one person goes and sacrifices parts of them, he's going to violate because of sacrificing part of them. But if one person does all of them, then he's not going to get all of them. He's only going to get for one of them. So on that, the Gemara asks, wait, Ibagavi, if it's like Abai saying that the Braisa is not talking about one person, it's talking about different people, then why does the Braisa use the singular terminology of Oivri, he will violate all five, Oivrimi violate, should say, they violate. Obviously, we're talking about one person, and but you have to Abai, and therefore it's a refutation of Abai. So Abai would tell you that no, you're right. It's talking about one person, but Afik Haktaris Miktasi, Rashi's Gir says Afik Chadiminayu, take out one of them, you're right. Either Kulay or Miktasi, which the Gir of Argamar is, take out the liability for sacrificing part of them, because you're already being liable for sacrificing all of them, and Abai holds you're not looking at the Lav Shabbachlalas. Va'ayil Kabbalah Saddam, and you're right, it's talking about one person, but instead insert that the violation he'll violate will be for receiving the blood of the blemished animal, which we learn now from Lisa Kriva of Miyad Ben Necher. Says the Gemara, Kabbalah Saddam, you can say one of the five is receiving the blood of the blemished animal. That, Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda Islay, it's Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda holds it. The Tanakama Leslie, Tanakama does not hold, and yet he still counts five. So the Gemara Kasha read different, it must be a difficulty. On Abaya, you see that you are looking at Lav Shabbachlalas of Hiktiru Miktasi and Hiktiru Kulay. Or Lishna Achrin, a different version, the question was said, Vahomad is safe, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, from the fact that the end of the Braisa courts Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, who he says that he adds on that of Kabbalah Saddam. So Reish Rabbanon, so obviously the Reish is Rabbanon who, they're not talking about the receiving of the blood, and still they count five lashes that he's going to get. Says the Gemara, Tiyufte the Abaya, it's a reputation of Abaya. Says the Gemara, yes, Tiyufte, it refutes his opinion that we do get lashes on both Hiktir Miktase and Hiktir Kule. Now continuing on the theme of the previous opening Mishnah, regarding how Koma Mirin, that everyone is in the parsha of making Temura of a carbon, says the Mishnah, HaKahanim Mamirin B'Shalahem. So to Kahanim, they could do Temura on their own carbon. So let's say the Kohen separates a carbon for himself, where if let's say he's obligated to go ahead and bring a carbon, if he goes and he's maimer it, he tries to swap it, so then the Temura will take effect and the sanctity now will take effect on that other carbon too. And so too, like we obviously, Yisrael Mamirin Bishlan. Then Yisrael, a non-Kohen, does Temura on his own carbon. However, says the Mishnah, Eina Kahan Mamirin, but the Kam cannot do Temura, Loi Bechatas, Loi Be'asham, when a Yisrael gives to the Kohen to sacrifice for him a sin offering or guilt offering, if the Kohen then goes and does Temura in that Chatas in the Asham, it's not going to become effective a Temura through him, and it's not going to have a sanctity on that other animal, because the Kohen doesn't have any portion in this Chatas in Asham, only after the sacrificial parts are sacrificed, and then he merits to have a piece of the meat. That's what a Brice in our parak is going to explain, but since it's not the Kohen's at this point, a person cannot be matvis, he cannot take effect and transfer sanctity on somebody that's not his. And so to Velebe Bechar, and this is a chiddush, that even the firstborn animal, which the Yisrael gives to the Kohen, and our Mishnah will actually go through this halacha, even there, the Kohen cannot make Temura on the Bechar. Now, that Amrich ben Nur, he asks, he says, Memnei Ma'ein, why is it that Kahanim cannot be Memirin Bebechar? Why can he not do Temura to be effective by the firstborn animal? But that all totally belongs to the Kohen. And even when it's still alive, it's given to him, and there's no kapar for the Yisrael with it. It's a gift that's given to the Kohen. When it's unblemished, he has to bring it as a carbon. When it's blemished, he uses it for himself. But it's totally the Kohen's. Why wouldn't he be considered the owner to be able to go out and do Temura on it? So only Rabbi Kiva, he says, I'll make the following comparison. Chatas v'asham aton l'kayin. The meat of a karmen chatas and the guilt offering, that's a gift to the kayin. Ubachar matan l'kayin, so too is the firstborn animal gift to the kayin. But just like you agree, as we just established before, that but the carbon chatzis and asham kohen cannot do tamur with it, because like we said, he doesn't merit in it only after the sacrificial parts of the sacrifice, which is already after it's dead. But so too, the bachar, which is the matan of the kohen, he also cannot do tamur with it. That Amrich Benui says, Maloi im ein meimer b'chatzis v'asham. What are you proving to me from the fact that he can't do tamur b'chatzis asham? There it makes sense that he cannot do tamur b'chatzis asham. She'ein zachen ben b'chayen, because yeah, there he doesn't merit it when it's still alive to be able to say that it's his to go ahead and effect the transfer of tamur. Taimer b'bachar, but what are you proving to b'chayer? She zachen b'bachayev, that he merits and it's his when it's still alive. He should be able to go ahead and effect the transfer of tamur sanctity. Adam Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva said to him, "No, because Valik Far Nema." The pasuk already says in Yikra, "V'ha'yuhu smirasa yikaidish." The original animal and the animal that you're swapping it to, both of them will go ahead and be sanctified and have kedusha. But we see that the Torah is comparing and equating the sanctity of the tamura to the originally sanctified carbon. Now, heichin kedusha chalalav. Where does the original sanctified animal have its sanctity take effect on it? Meaning this bechar, beveis habaylam, in the house of the owner. Therefore, it only takes effect in the house of the owner, af tumura, so then also the tumura will only take effect, beveis habalim, in the house of the owner. But in the house of the kain, it doesn't take effect at all in its original sanctity, because it's sanctified as a bechor when it's born by the original Yisrael's house. So therefore, the kain cannot go ahead and take effect and make a tumura in the bechor, even when it's his, when it's still alive. And contrast, the Yisrael, if he makes tamura, then the Kedusha is going to take effect. Because yes, in his domain, the original sanctity of the Bechor takes effect. So then, tamurasi will be the same thing. He could go ahead and make a tamura in the Bechor, but the Kohen cannot make a tamura in the Bechor. Now, continuing on this theme of the halacha of our Mishnah, which will relate back to the halacha of the Mishnah ultimately, regarding the sanctity of the Bechor, it's not awesome. We're learning the Mishnah within Masechtas Maaseh Sheni, that says, a Bechor, that's a Kohen's, the first one animal was given to the Kohen, says the Mishnah, Meichrin Eisei, the kain's allowed to, it's his, he owns the Bechor, he's allowed to sell it, Tam Chai. When it's unblemished, he could sell it when it's alive. Now, at this point, if one would just read the Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni, it would sound like that this is whether it's at when the time of the where the Beis HaMikdash was around, or even in today's times when there is no Beis HaMikdash around. And we would read this line of the Mishnah, that if the Beis HaMikdash is around, yes, a kain could sell a live Bechor to another kohen, and that kohen will sacrifice it. Now, the reason why we're picking specifically if it's alive is because if it was slaughtered, then actually he would not be able to be permitted to sell it to anyone else, because it is a disgrace to kachim, because it's not appropriate to go ahead and do business with something that is going to have a part of it that was already sacrificed on the mizbech. So if it's shachet, you can't. But if it's still alive, so it wasn't yet put on the mizbech, so then he could sell it to another kohen. That's if the Beis HaMikdash is still around. If it's Bezman, as in when there's no Beis HaMikdash, so then he could sell it when it's unblemished, alive, whether to another kohen or even to a Yisrael. Because then the consumer, whoever it is, has to wait until it develops a blemish, because he can't sacrifice on the Mizbeach, and then he'll eat it. Because a Bechor, once it develops a blemish, there's no prohibition on it besides that would apply stealing from the kohen. But if the kohen's selling it or he gifts it to him, then it's permitted to be eaten, as the Gemara says in Bechor, by a Bechor that has a blemish, they still say it's permitted, and even a non-Jew is permitted to go ahead and eat from it. But regarding an unblemished animal that's slaughtered, that wouldn't even imply Bezman Nazir, because you can't slaughter a Bechor Tam Bezman Nazir, because no Beis HaMikdash and it's Kachim Bechutz. But an unblemished live Bechor, he's allowed to sell it. Now, Ubalmum, and if the Bechor is blemished, then Chai V'Shachet, then he's allowed to sell it, whether it's alive or if it's slaughtered. Because it's blemished, it's not going to be on the Mizbech, and he's allowed to sell it, it's considered his money. And moreover, Mekachim Bayesha, he could go ahead and even get engage a woman with, which he has to give her something worth of value, because it's considered his money. That's the Mishnah. However, Amr Ibn Nachman, Rabbi Bravui, qualifies and says, Loishon, we didn't learn that a kohen could go ahead and sell it when it's still alive, Ela Bizman Hazeh, only in today's times, where it's not fit to be sacrificed. Since the kohen goes and has all the rights in this animal when it's still alive, because in today's times, even now, the Bechoris go to the Kahanim, and it's never going to go to the Beis HaMikdash, because no more Beis HaMikdash. So then, yeah, so he can go ahead and sell it to someone else. This is where he's saying that not what we would have thought from Mishnah. But at a time when the Beis HaMikdash is around, since it's unblemished and it's alive, it's ultimately going to be brought as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. So then you cannot sell it when it's unblemished and still alive, because he says the Kohen does not have rights in it, even though, what I mean, the Yisrael gives it to him. But since it has to go as a carbon on the Beis HaMikdash, on the Mizbech, it's only when it's sacrificed by its sacrificial parts, then it goes and it gets back permitted to the Kohen. Therefore now, it's not really considered his, it's really considered Hekdash, it's really considered Hashem's, and therefore he can't go ahead and sell it, even in this state when it's still alive. However, Isvei Rav L'Rav Nachman, but Rav asked on this halacha of Rav Nachman from that same Mishnah itself. The Mishnah said, Meichin Eisit Tamachai, you could sell this Bechor that's unblemished, that's alive, to another person. Now, says Rav, the inference is, Chayin. Yeah, if it's alive, then you could sell it. Shachaloi. But the inference is telling you, but if it's slaughtered, you cannot. Says Rav, Emas. When is it talking about? Ilem Bezman is that if you think it's talking about in today's times when there's no Beis HaMikdash, Mi Iketam Shachet, is there even such a case of when it's unblemished and it's slaughtered? To say that that's not a case that he could sell it, but that's Kachim Bachutz. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. That would be slaughtering Kachim outside of the Azar, which is prohibited. Elapshita rather says, Rabbi, the inference obviously is the Bizmancha Beis HaMikdash Kayim, that Mishnah is told about at a time when the Beis HaMikdash is around. And Mekutani Nami, and still the Mishnah tells us, that he could sell it when it's unblemished, when as long as it's still alive. You see, the coin does have rights in it, even at a time when the Beis HaMikdash is around. So Rav Nachman answers, Loi, no. Like he was qualifying the Mishnah. It's talking about in today's times when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Because Mikitani, does the Mishnah say the words that you're inferring? Oh, Meichin Eisitam, Mikitza, when it's unblemished, Chayin, when it's alive, but Shachaloi, but not when it's slaughtered, which then you want to infer that obviously it's not Tomeh Bezman Hazeh, because Man Hazeh, there's no unblemished that's slaughtered. No. Hagufa, says Rav Nachman, no, it's the halacha, the Brisa itself that Aslashmin, it's coming to tell us that halacha, but not as a way of an inference. It's coming to tell us that, no, but the Bizman Hazeh, Nami Meichin Asi Tamachai, that even in today's times, you're allowed to go ahead and sell it when it's unblemished and it's alive. Because you would have thought to say that, no, the Kohen does not have rights in it until it develops a blemish, because he can't utilize it, it's unblemished, and you can't be brought as a carbon. And that's the Chiddush that's saying that, no, even today's times, he is considered the owner. But not to make the inference that you were saying, to say, oh, when it's alive, but not when it's slaughtered, because no, says Rav Nachman, Toma Bizman Hazeh, Bizman Hazeh, there is no Tam Shachet, and there is not a difficulty, because it's not saying that those words of the inference. It's not common to say that inference. No, you're right, of course it wouldn't be either selling that Tam Shachet, because there is no Tam Shachet. It's common to say, the primary Allah itself, that yes, even Bizman Hazeh, the Kohen is considered the rightful owner, even though he can't utilize it yet, when it's Tam Chai, and therefore he could sell it.